It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day. The Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone, on this January 21st. God bless you of 2023. We're so happy to be with you this morning. We are going to be presenting today. Unfortunately, we went to the location last night, and at the location, it is such a, there's no cell signal. You can't get a phone call in. The best we could do was text somebody. So we can't, because of the bad signal, that means we can't use the iPad for Zoom. We can't even use free conference call to have you call in and just listen audio. We thought about that. So unfortunately, we won't have service today, our collective service. If anyone is, but we will strive to record the messages. Because that doesn't require any internet signal. I just need to have my phone handy. So we will do that. So definitely keep us in prayer. God is so good. Maybe we'll give a little testimony about last night. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Angela, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together and to open up your word on your Sabbath day. Now we ask for your spirit to be our teacher this morning. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and fill us as well, Lord, helping us to be fed this spiritual manna from heaven as we grow in grace and wisdom. For it is in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time. Yeah.
Amen. It's about time. And we are going to be talking about a clean heart, and baptism, Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before your presence this morning, we come with thanksgiving. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you have done and all that you are doing. I pray that you will bless us. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I want to give a little testimony as we were in the meeting last night. It's a smaller group than some meetings areas, than some venues. And, you know, sometimes I think the people can who host you wish that more people would come and that type of thing. And as I was pretty much near the end of the message, they have a side door, and there was a knock on that door because it's usually locked. And because I was closest to the front when it happened, even though I'm the speaker, I just went over and opened the door. And it was a gentleman there, and he wanted prayer. He wanted prayer because he has cancer. And he came in, and we just talked to him, and he was telling us his story. And we just felt like of all things that, and you know, there were questions that we asked. He didn't give the appearance of, you know, being on drugs or anything like that. He didn't ask for money, but he was about to lose his job because of the health issues that he's having and how that affects his work. And so we were able to pray, and everyone felt that the Lord had sent him. So you just never know who God is bringing into your path and what he's doing, but he's a miracle-working God, and we need to recognize that. So I wanted to share that beautiful thought with you that God sent that man. And so what is our Sabbath school topic this morning? It's going to be on cancer. So he said he's coming back. We pray he will. Just wanted to share that with you. We're continuing in Exodus, and we're in Exodus chapter 30, verse 18. And verses 18 through 21 talk about the laver. It says, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Outside of the tabernacle, you have the brazen altar where the lamb was slain. And it's so interesting. If I remember correctly, the brazen altar was made of wood, but it was overlaid with brass. Okay? That's Christ in his humanity, and he came down to die for us. And that's where the lamb was slain. The sacrifice was burned on that brazen altar. And but after that, as you went close to the tabernacle, there was no shittim wood. It was just all a brass laver. You see, in justification, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But notice, it was Christ in his humanity that died. But because he died and we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, he, with heavenly grace in the battle, because, you know, brass was used in warfare, he's able to cleanse us of all sin, my friends. Of our past sins, and he's also able to give you a new heart. So the brazen altar didn't have any humanity. It was all brass, but it's the brass at war. In other words, it's a metal at war, whereas when we go into the holy place, it's gold inside the holy place, okay, even though some of it is shittim wood with gold. And so that is the symbol of God in justification giving you a clean heart. And it also is a symbol that when you are changing sides and saying, I want to serve God, you should be willing to go and make a public statement to say, I want to go a different way. I want to serve God. And that public statement is called baptism. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so this brazen altar, friends, is beautiful. And it says, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. And when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout your generations. Okay, so the brazen altar was there representing the outer court justification, where the Lamb was slain. Jesus died on Calvary's cruel cross to save us, but that gives us clean hearts, okay? Pure heart. And, you know, when Jesus died, there came out blood and water, right? And what that was, actually, physiologically, it wasn't anything magic. He had died already, and so the broken heart, I believe literal broken heart, I believe his heart ruptured because of the sins of the world, and so his blood was just filling in his inner cavity, and after a while it coagulates, and so the red cells go down to the bottom, and the clear fluid goes up to the top, so when you pierce that cavity, the red came out first, and then the clear fluid, so it gave that appearance that it was two separate fluids. And that was symbolic, however, because the brazen altar is where blood is shed, but at the laver, that's where the water can be had to cleanse the body. And so that's what justification does for us. Christ's sacrifice covers our sin, and then God washes our sins away, and we get a new heart. We're going now to the book of Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. And notice what it says in verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God is there to help us, and he wants to cleanse us and put clean water upon us. You don't have to be caught up in sin. You don't have to be overcome by sin. You can have victory in your life today, my friends. The devil wants you to believe that you have to be a slave to him, a slave to lust, a slave to bad habits like smoking and drinking, a slave to evil thoughts and bitterness and anger and frustration. A temper, a lack of patience, lack of order. All of these, my friends, God cleans up and he helps us. We all don't have the same tendencies. We don't have the same challenges. Some are more burdened with certain aspects of the devil's plan, and others are burdened with other aspects. But if we all surrender to Christ, if we surrender to Christ, he will change our heart. He will make scatterbrained people focused. He will make smoking addicts calm without cigarettes. He will make those who have a temper to turn that into love and peace. He will turn impatience into patience. He will turn bitterness into love. He will turn resentment into compassion. That's what God does, my friend. Don't you want to be clean by the blood of Jesus? And then we go now to the book of Matthew, because as we talk about baptism, so interesting to see this. All right. Notice in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, this is a very important scripture, my friend, verse 15. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, the reason why that is a wonderful scripture, for many reasons there, that is a wonderful scripture. One reason is it helps us define fulfill. You see, in Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So So a lot of people don't keep the Sabbath because they say it was fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the law. But what does this mean? He told John he needed to be baptized so that he could fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill means to do. It means to fill to the fullest, to actually accomplish it. So when Christ accomplished the law, he fulfilled the law. But that doesn't mean that we don't also fulfill the law, because the Bible tells us that we also fulfill the law of liberty. And so, my friends, people use that word fulfill to mean cancel. It doesn't mean to cancel. If that was the case, Jesus wouldn't have gotten baptized. He would have said, I don't need to be baptized because I fulfilled all righteousness. No, he said, suffer it to be so. Let me be baptized, for thus it becometh the two of us to fulfill all righteousness. Your baptizing me is helping us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, Christ came as our substitute, but also our example. And even though he did not sin, Christ was baptized for those who can't ever be baptized. Christ was baptized for the thief on the cross. He couldn't come down from the cross and be baptized. Some people find Jesus in a jail cell, and they can't go to be baptized in the jail cell or the prison cell. Some people might be on death row, and they won't let him out to go get baptized. And so Jesus was baptized for them, but he was also baptized to show us the example that he requires baptism when it's possible for us to be baptized. That's what God requires in order for us to be saved, because you would not have a problem giving a public statement that you're on the Lord's side. Friends, we give a public statement with our dress, with our mouth, with our attitude all the time. We give a public statement that we're on Satan's side, so why are we ashamed to give a public statement to say, I am now on the Lord's side, my friends? Oh, friends, God wants us to do that. And I will tell you this, that this is something most people don't think about. Jesus never said that he would be the only one that might be impressed to be baptized to help somebody else, to give an example. And sometimes, friends, God may have us be rebaptized just to be an example to a friend, so this is something most people don't know, that we think of baptism. We understand it's a baptism of repentance. We understand being rebaptized if you've fallen away, but there's another reason to be baptized. There's another reason to be baptized when you find new truth. Remember in the book of Acts, they had never heard of the baptism. Which one? They knew the baptism of John, but they had not ever heard of the baptism of the Spirit, or under Jesus Christ, rather. And so they were baptized again because they had significant new truth, okay? And so, my brothers and sisters, being baptized is a wonderful thing, and this is another reason to be baptized, as an example for others. That's what Jesus did, as an example for others, okay? Not to say that you should feel impressed by God to do that if that's what he calls you to do. But we have to be true to the scriptures, and it does give a reason for baptism. All right, and it doesn't say that it's only limited to Jesus as an example. So as we talk about Jesus being our example, we go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." That was when Jesus actually washed the feet, and he said, "I have given you an example." Christ came as our example. We are to follow his example. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should that ye should follow in his steps." So, friends, we are to be obedient, even if it causes suffering, and we are following the steps of Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So these are just scriptures that show that Jesus is our example. And so if baptism was good enough for Jesus, and it was by immersion, none of this sprinkling stuff that was brought in out of witchcraft used by the Roman Catholic Church, friends, it's not in the Bible. Sprinkling is not in the Bible. They call it baptism, but it's sprinkling. That was done with like a magic wand to put a spirit on people, and they just converted it to Christianity. It is not Christian, my friends. It's pagan, and we shouldn't do it. All right? God is good. So, my friends, God wants us to be clean. He wants to give you a clean heart. And David said, created me a clean heart, O God. That's why we keep the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a sign of sanctification, Ezekiel 20:12. And so what is sanctification but cleansing, okay? And so the Sabbath is a sign of sanctification, a sign of cleansing. How is it? Because to be cleansed, you must be recreated. And so we remember the Sabbath because it is a sign that the one we serve can change us and create in us a new heart. That's why the Sabbath is important. So when people do away with the Sabbath, they're doing away with the very sign that God can create us into new creatures. They're doing away with the whole plan of redemption by not keeping the Sabbath. It's a beautiful symbol of cleansing, being made new, being converted. And that's what we need, friends. We need a conversion. A true conversion. You can go to church and not be converted. You can serve God and not be converted. You can be in ministry and not be converted. You have to humble yourself, friend, before God, and he will change you. You've got to ask him and believe that he will give you the new heart. Ask God for a new heart. That's what this labor is all about, my friends, and he will help you. Don't you want it today? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for reminding us that the Sabbath is a sign of creation. Thank you for reminding us through the labor that you cleanse us from sin, not in sin, but from sin, and that when we are justified, we are cleansed by the blood and not just covered by the blood. And a new heart begins to has been created. And as we keep moving into the sanctuary, then we go into the table of showbread and get the word of God to, as we are sanctified now, to stay sanctified. And we have the altar of incense and prayer to stay in a close relationship with you. And then the golden candlesticks, the seven golden candlesticks, in order to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good work, service to humanity. And that threefold union is what helps us stay in a close walk with you, Bible study, prayer, and service, witnessing to our fellow man. Father, we know that the most holy place was where the presence of God was in its fullness, and therefore we recognize that as we are faithful and we stay in sanctification, when you come to our name in judgment, you will say, well done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for our transition song, and we want to remind you that because the signal at the church, they're using it's a building that has a metal roof, and it's just no signal. You can't even get a phone call in, so we will not be able to have service. But by the grace of God, and I didn't think about last night. We could have done that last night. I didn't think about that. But today we will do our best to record the meetings by the grace of God and share them at a later time. All right, the torso song is next. We'll take about an 8-minute intermission, and we'll be back talking about cleansing your way to cure, the importance of cleansing your body today.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Praise God. All right, my friends, we're going to be talking about cleansing at this time. You know, when you think about how complicated medical science is, I mean, how long you have to go to school and all that you have to learn about all these different drugs and their interactions and the anatomy and the physiology, which is not bad. When you think about that and compare that to the simplicity of God's plan, you can learn all that in medical school, allied health, nursing school, and not know how to cure cancer because they don't know how to cure cancer. We do know how to cure cancer. Now, that doesn't mean people may not wait too late. You see, you can have cancer. It actually turns good cells into bad cells. And so if your organs are all gone because they've turned into cancerous cells, then, you know, you can get rid of the cancer, but the organ is gone. And so we don't want to wait too late. But that doesn't mean stage four is too late. Stage four only means that the cancer has spread outside the original organ. That's all it means. The original organ can even be intact, and it's stage four cancer. A lot of people walking around or have stage four cancer, you would never know it. They don't even know it. They feel fine. And so the bottom line is that if you cleanse your body and you alkalinize your body and you flush out toxins, you can overcome any disease, my friends, with God's help. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about, the importance of cleansing. And we do that with fasting. We call it juice fasting. You can do water fasting too, water-only fasting, but juice fasting is a wonderful way to get the cure started because you're flushing out lots of toxins and you're alkalinizing your body. It doesn't matter what disease you have. I don't know of many diseases that don't benefit from it. Now, if you have chronic kidney disease, for example, you have to be real careful which juices you do. Maybe you can drink some asparagus juice, and you may not be able to drink as much juice if you have chronic kidney disease. But for the most part, people can drink. We talked about diabetes last night, diabetes and a little hypertension last night, and you need to be on more green drinks. But you can go on a 7-10-day juice fast. You'll lose weight. That's all you need for the most part to get rid of diabetes is lose some weight. And because the fat and toxins is coating the cell wall and keeping the insulin from making good connection there. And so when you start juicing, and what juicer should you use? You need a slow masticating juicer. Not that we want to get into any products on the Sabbath and cost, but since we're on the subject, if you can, after Sabbath, look into the Nama juicer, N-A-M-A, Nama juicer. It's got a little price tag. It's about the same as like a Green Star, but it's so much easier, and a lot of people don't juice because the work is involved. That's involved. Pushing that down the chute, and then, you know, after doing all that, you still have to clean the juicer, and some of the better slow masticating juicers are hard to clean, and not so with the Nama J2. You can load it like it's a blender and turn it on and walk away. It'll do its juicing. The pulp will be on one side and the juice will be in a reservoir. You can open up the spout and then it has a cup that the juice goes into at that time. So recommend that juicer simply because it's so much less work. The J1 is still a lot less work. You just have to drop it in piece by piece, okay? With the Nama J2, you can just load it like you load a blender and then turn it on. So juicing is very, very important. And all the organs of elimination, the colon, liver, kidney, skin, lungs, they all can be cleansed by juicing. And juice has water in it. So you also need water in your fast. Make sure you are well hydrated during your fast and during every aspect of your life. Make sure you're well hydrated. Oftentimes, the call for hunger is really the call for thirst. You misinterpret the signal. We're constipated and liver is toxic because of, we don't have enough fluid, enough water, okay? And so let's cleanse our way to cure, friends. It's a simple method. It blows modern medicine's methods out of the water. It's so much better. It's non-toxic. Juicing is natural chemotherapy because the best chemotherapy would target the cancer but leave the body in good health. None of their chemotherapy drugs do that. Well, juicing is like chemotherapy. It targets the cancer and leaves the rest of the body in better health. And so with herbs and then the live free lifestyle, love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. Friends, that is God's health plan for today. And for those of you who may be in the Atlanta area, we're going to be talking today about cancer and the biblical booster. Cancer and the biblical booster. So I will post the flyer up there for you for today. Unfortunately, and we're sad about this, there is no signal at the church. So we can't broadcast it via Zoom. So we won't be having that today, but we will strive to record and the audio, at least record the audio that we'll be using for the presentation. So may the Lord bless and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace today. And at this time, we will have our roll call. We have a happy Sabbath from Brother Peyton in North Carolina. Happy Sabbath, Brother Peyton. That's North Carolina represented on Facebook. And on the call, we have from Georgia. We have Georgia on the line, rather. We have South Carolina on the line. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio. We have Delaware. We have Delaware again. We also have Ohio again. And we're your servant from Pennsylvania, but we are in Georgia at this time. So if you know of anybody that's in the Atlanta area, friends, please let them know that they can come out. We start at 10 o'clock today with the presentation on cancer. There is going to be a sermon, and in the afternoon we will talk about the biblical booster, and then my wife, Undreamed Of, will be doing some practical demonstrations and engage the people in that way. All right, it's time for our closing prayers. Well, let me check, see if there's anybody in the queue. Nope, there's no one in the queue. We've got about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, but we're going to go ahead and close out with prayer at this time. Oh, okay, sure. We're going to recite the fourth commandment.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor the daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed and hallowed the Sabbath day. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. And now, Lord, as we go about your holy day of sacredness, may we remember to keep the day holy. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of our conversations, the words that are exchanged, our thoughts. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to keep praise and glory and honor, looking always upon the eyes of Jesus. Let that be our sight today. Let that be our speech today. Let that be our walk today. And not just today, but every day. May we remember that we serve a holy God. Help us to be a faithful people unto thy throne. And Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for our sins. Help us to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. And to help us, Lord, to be healed spiritually, mentally, and physically. And we ask, Lord, that you will guide us through your Holy Spirit by giving us instructions and directions as to the things we need to be doing in our lives so that we can be changed and made totally into your likeness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
And happy Sabbath. All right, our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.
will.